I was in the pasture, sneaking up on a field lark in the tall tickle grass, when I heard Grandpa's tractor turn onto the oil road leading out of the bottoms. I got the idea from television the night before when I saw a soldier on combat use his rifle to push down the grass as he crawled up on a German machine gun nest. I was making a pretty fair belly sneak for an 11-year-old, but Hootie made things harder as he raced around sniffing for quail in the November sunshine. Truthfully, I was out there because Miss Becky had gotten a call, and when I heard who was on the other end of the line, I figured it would be best to make myself scarce. It was surprising that Mr. Elmer Hughes would take the time to pick up the phone and complain about me throwing dirt clods at the pickups passing on the highway. Great-grandpa Will Parker built our house on a little hill overlooking the bottoms. The main highway coming over the creek bridge from the east was arrow straight for a mile, before curving around our house like a stream around a boulder. The high position gave me a perfect setup to chunk clods at passing cars and trucks. I was pretending to bomb them, like in combat. The hard sand clods hadn't actually hit anyone, but they made dusty little puffs on the highway as the cars went by. I had the range down when Mr. Earl passed, and a pretty good-sized clod hit directly in front of his truck. I didn't figure it would hurt the paint on that old wreck none if I did hit him, and I didn't. But he tapped his brakes, and I skinned out of there before he could see who was hiding up near the corner post of Grandpa's overgrown barbed wire fence. Anyway, just as I got close enough to get a shot at the bird, I heard Grandpa's old two-cylinder Poppin' Johnny tractor turn out of the bottoms. Because the breeze was out of the northeast, I also heard our radio through the open window over 100 yards away. Miss Becky had it turned to a loud sermon about the Beatles and how that new rock and roll group was going to take everyone straight to hell before 1964 was done. As I slid forward, I caught a glimpse of the tractor as it came down the oil road on the other side of the pasture. Then, a big old snake stuck his head out of the dry grass not 2 inches from my arm. I didn't recognize what kind it was. It might have been anything from a copperhead to a blue racer, but it didn't make me any difference. It was a snake, and I was always scared of snakes as I was of a bear. We froze, almost nose to nose. It was strange, because everything suddenly snapped into crystal clarity. I took in the sharpness of its scales, the pattern they made, and the way its body expanded and contracted as it breathed. I'd heard enough stories about them who've been bit. Doctors tie tourniquets above the bite and make deep cuts with a sharp knife into each fang mark. The arm or leg swells up and turns black. Then the flesh dies and sloughs off to reveal bone and tendons. Old Mr. Harry Nichols was missing the little and ring fingers of his left hand from where a water moccasin bit him when he was a boy and he got gangrene. The tractor came closer and turned onto the 2-lane highway. From there, it was only a couple of 100 yards to the gravel drive leading up to the farmhouse. Clear as a bell, I heard a scissor tail singing while he jumped up and down on top of a telephone pole by the highway. The sound was wonderfully natural while I lay there and stared at what I finally figured to be a water moccasin. The pool wasn't 100 yards away, and the snake was hunting, like me. I was fascinated by those glassy black eyes. Its tongue flicked out. It was too much. My face flushed with heat, and I prickled all over with fear. Before it could coil, absolute terror jolted me into action. I jumped to my feet with a shriek and raced back toward the drive. Hootie saw my sudden leap and shot across the pasture, weaving in and out of the bull nettles and over the milkweeds. Grandpa Ned waved as we ran parallel to the road. From his perch high on the tractor's hard metal seat, he had no idea I was running in panic. I was so scared I forgot to watch out for the bull nettles and brushed one of the plants. The tiny hairs poked through my jeans. I barely paid any attention to the burning in my leg as I ran to the barbed wire fence and realized I'd cheated death one more time. Hootie slid under the lowest strand of wire, and I followed closely behind.